since we're having guest speakers Sunday morning. Sunday night, I plan to preach on the first five verses of Genesis 5. And I want to preach a message entitled The Book of Adam. So I'm not going to go in depth into these first five verses, but I did want us to look at verse 3 through 5 and what these verses reveal to us about Seth, this son that Adam and Eve had, about the age of Adam when he was born and the longevity of Adam. It tells us there in verse 3, Adam lived 130 years and he begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now we met Seth in Genesis chapter 4. Now the Word of God begins to specifically zero in on him and gives us the details of his birth, the age of his father Adam, and how long his father lived after that. And we find in this genealogy that has begun to be laid out for us from the rest of the verses in chapter 5 that it's very different from that we've seen of Cain's lineage in chapter 4. For instance, there's no mention in Cain's lineage of his descendants of when they were born, how old Cain was when Enoch was born. There's no mention of that. The Holy Spirit of God never says at any time in chapter 4, and they lived, or and Cain lived, or and Enoch lived, and he died. Never mentions that. But when we get to the line of Seth, when we get to the lineage of Seth, we find over and over and over the Spirit of God tells us that Adam lived and Adam died. Seth lived. Seth died, and it goes all the way through, on down through this lineage of Seth. And so what we learn here, and there's reasons for that. I'm going to address that in just a few moments. But right now, what I want you to see is that Seth was born when Adam was 130 years old. And so we also learn Adam lived another 800 years. And when he died, his obituary, in verse 5, he was 930 years of age. Which again tells us what God said was true and what Satan said was a lie. Satan said, "You shall not surely die." But Adam died at 930 years of age. So, the question that I want to try to answer tonight is, why do we have Genesis chapter 5? Why do we have these details, these ages, these specific things given to us from the line of Seth that we do not have from the line of Cain? And so I just simply want to offer three reasons why we have the lineage of Seth as we do in Genesis chapter 5. First of all, there's a scriptural reason, of course, for this line of Seth that we find in chapter 5. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. It is the book of beginnings. It is the book of origins. And as part of the Bible, it is God's revelation to us. Now, you remember, Moses told the people of God, the people of Israel, in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, he said this, remember, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." And so basically, God's Word doesn't tell us everything that we would like to know or that we would want to know. But God's Word does tell us everything God wants us to know and God needs us to know. We find the Holy Spirit of God writing and revealing in these opening chapters of Genesis very precisely, giving us the information that we need to know. And he's doing that very same thing here in chapter 5. God wants us to know everything and needs us to know everything that we need to know when it comes to our creation, when it comes to our sin, and when it comes to our salvation. And so there's a scriptural reason for this line of Seth and the details of it in Genesis chapter 5. The fact that we are given the longevity of the lives of each man in this lineage of Seth that ultimately brings Jesus into the world is very significant. In fact, the average age of these guys in the line of Seth was 912 years old. Now that's a long life, amen? Can't even comprehend it, can you? But that's the average age, and it's significant. The fact that we are given the exact age of the patriarch at the time the next name and the next man in the line of Seth that gives us the Savior is very significant as well. The fact that we are told that those men who are named, having given birth to the next one in the line of the promised seed, they also continued to have sons and daughters. Every bit of that is very significant. There are scriptural reasons for that. See, the ages of these individuals, their age at the birth of the next one in the line of Seth that brings forth the promised Savior, enables us to have a scriptural and a historical record of the first age of humanity. The age of humanity from the creation event, the creation week, until the flood that we're going to see in the coming chapters of Genesis. So before I move any further into this scriptural reason for the lineage of Seth, I want to address two arguments, and I want to just address them briefly. There are those who look at this genealogy and they declare there has to be gaps there, because they look at this genealogy and they look at the history of the world and they're looking at it through this lens that our world is millions and billions of years old, and there has to be this process of developing from Stone Age to civilization. And so they look at this and they say there has to be gaps here, because if not, there's no way the amount of time needed for all of this to happen could take place. While I believe when you simply look at God's Word and believe it to be God's Word and accept it as God's Word, without looking at it through scientific lens or what is supposedly fact today, when you look at it in faith as to what God's Word is, there's no need to insert anything, there's no need to place any gaps, there's no need to do any of that. In fact, I find that it is very significant, and we're going to see that as we move forward tonight. Adam had Seth. Seth had Enos, and he had this other guy and this other guy and this other guy. It's very important, because there God by His Holy Spirit is tracing for us the lineage of the coming Redeemer, the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus. And it's very important that. Now there's this other argument that kind of connects with that, and that is, these years can't be literal years. There's no way a man can live 930 years old. See, I find it interesting. When you get to Genesis 1, there's no way those days could be literal days. When you get to Genesis chapter 5, there's no way those years could be literal years. Yes, there is a way. That's what God's Word said they were. They're literal days that God created the world. These are literal years that Adam lived. What have we talked about? What have we learned from what God tells us in Genesis chapter 1? What does good scientific observation, what can that teach us about a planet and an atmosphere in which there was this canopy of water above the atmosphere and the waters separated from the land? What does that tell? I'm not talking to you, Siri. And so what did that tell us? It told us that the planet was literally created to be conducive to the longevity of the life of God's creation. That there was no death, there was no sickness or suffering until sin entered in. That there literally was a tree of life in the Garden of Eden whereby men would eat of it and they would never die. And the atmosphere and the global greenhouse effect of that water canopy would keep out the ultraviolet radiation lights from the sun that would cause decay and would cause death. It would literally be conducive to men and women living forever, doing exactly what God created them to do: subdue the earth and exercise dominion over it. And so the issue, folks, it's always this. The problem is never with what God's Word tells us. The problem is always with whether or not we believe and have faith to believe what God's Word tells us. And so there's a scriptural reason for the detail of this genealogy. There's a scriptural reason for the age of these guys when they gave birth to the next one in this lineage of Seth. There's a reason for the giving us the amount of years that each one of these guys in this line lived. And I've given you a chart tonight. I passed out a chart for you that I trust you'll look at as we talk about, but take home and look at it further. We're not going to read verses 6 through 32 tonight. There's no way we can read through all of that. We're going to look at some of those verses tonight. Next Wednesday, I plan to preach on some more of those specifically. But this chart shares with us the information that we learn from this lineage of Seth and what it tells us about Adam and his first year, his creation, and his giving birth to Seth at 130 years of age and his death at 930 years of age. And so if you look at the chart, you see it is easy. We can calculate with great accuracy the duration of the first age of humanity just by looking at this genealogy. Because if you'll see later, and we'll come to it, the verses later, there's this guy by the name of Methuselah. And in Genesis 5, verse 25 through verse 27, says Methuselah lived 187 years, and he begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Now, what do you know about Methuselah? What does everybody know about Methuselah? The oldest man who ever lived. 960. If you've been in church, if you've been in Sunday school, you know Methuselah is the man who lived the longest. 969 years. But you know what grieves my heart as I study this and preach through this? How many of us have been taught in Sunday school the significance of those 969 years and what they revealed to us? Enoch was the man who walked with God. Enoch gave birth to Methuselah. When Enoch walked with God and he left, because God took him, he left a son by the name of Methuselah that was his continuing message to the world. You know what Methuselah means? When he dies, it shall come. When he dies, it shall come. What? That judgment of God upon ungodly sinners that Enoch preached a lot about in his lifetime. And so if you look on the chart, there's a couple of asterisks by Methuselah's name. Because if from what we see here in this genealogy, then more than likely it's when Methuselah died, the flood came upon the earth. So you know what that enables us to know? The flood occurred about 1656 years after the creation. There's the duration of the first age of humanity. It's just simple calculation from what God's Word reveals to us through this genealogy. There's the duration. And a couple things I just want to point out to you. Look at this chart and you'll see that Adam lived to witness the birth of Lamech, who was Noah's father. In fact, according to what we learn here, Lamech was about 56 years old when Adam died. And you know what that means, folks? Listen, you got to think about this. The duration was 1656 years. When the flood came upon the earth, everybody on the planet had either known Adam or knew somebody who knew Adam personally because of the longevity of their lifespans. Enoch and Lamech are the only two in the line of Seth who outlived their fathers. And by that, Enoch was outlived by his father, in other words, because Enoch was taken to heaven by God. He didn't die, but he was translated. But see, his father lived longer than he did. Lamech was outlived by his father. Methuselah, his father, lived longer than he did. So there's a lot there that we can see from just what the Word of God clearly tells us. It also has something to tell us about the population of the age before the flood. See, it started with Adam. Adam was 130. He had Seth. 800 years later, he died. Genesis 5, verse 6 and 7. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived, after he begat Enos, 807 years and begat sons and daughters. So what is that telling us? Well, it tells us clearly how long they lived till they had the next son, the next man named in the line of Seth leading to the Savior. Does it say that was their firstborn son? Does it say that's the only one they had before then? No. It just says that's how old they were when the next one in the lineage of the promised seed was born. And after that son, they had sons and daughters. We talked about it several weeks ago. Simple math. People with smarts. Adam and Eve being fruitful, multiplying. It is very possible, statistically, for there to be billions of people on the planet in 1656 years. Quite likely, in the fact that these guys live to be on an average of 912 years old. That meant their wives were living that long and having children. It's a lot of people. Exactly. Exactly. So there's a scriptural reason. And listen, when we get to the end of the chapter and we get into the next chapter, here's the sad thing. There's only eight. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. See, God kept a godly lineage going. But that godly lineage and those families continued to be pulled into a wicked culture and world and civilization. But fortunately for us, God always works with the remnants. And And his salvation in the Savior has always come through the remnants. So it tells us a lot about the population before the flood. And it also, this lineage, tells us about the continuation of the human race after the flood. Because what does it tell us? It ends in verse 32. Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It doesn't mean he didn't have any kids until he was 500 years old. It just means the Spirit of God tells us when he was 500 years old, he had Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Now here's something that's a little different. Shem is the one in the line of the promised seed. Through Shem comes Abraham. But why do we have a notation here of Ham and Japheth? We're going to learn in a couple chapters. It's from Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the peoples of the world and the nations of the world came after the Tower of Babel. God's Spirit knows exactly what He's doing when He gives us this lineage of Seth. There's scriptural reasons. It gives us the historical record of the duration of the first age, the population of it, and the continuation of humanity after the flood. But now then there's the spiritual reason that I see for this line of Seth. See, in chapter 4, we have the line of Cain, and what happens when you go the way of Cain? But in Genesis chapter 5, we see this line of Seth, and it points us to the cross and to the way of the cross. The line of Seth has a lot to teach us about where sin leads, but also where salvation leads. You remember in chapter 4, Cain's Lamech, he was the seventh from Adam, descended through Cain. Now you remember what we learned about him? He was a murderer, and he wrote poetry and sang about it to his wives. He was the seventh from Adam through Cain, and his life, and his passions, and his arrogance against God and the ways of God was pictured the whole culture and the whole civilization of those who have strayed from God and turned from the worship of God. There was no details given as to when they lived or when they were born, how old their dad was when they were born. Nowhere does it tell us they lived and they died. And you know why? I've already mentioned it before. They were already dead. They were spiritually dead. They were walking dead men. And it really didn't matter how long they lived and how long it was before they died. But it did matter when it comes to the line of Seth. In Seth's line, it says over and over, and he lived, had sons and daughters, and he died. Those who called upon God, they truly lived. They had children. They had families. They worshiped God. You know what? They didn't live for possessions. They didn't live for prosperity and power and pleasure. That was characteristic of most of the world. But these, in this godly lineage of Seth, there was always this line of men and their families who brought children in the world that didn't live for that, but they truly lived. They didn't live as vagabonds and fugitives like Cain. They lived as pilgrims and strangers in the world. Genesis 5, 28 and 29 says, and Lamech lived 182 years, and he begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Remember now, Adam didn't die till after Lamech was born. You know what that means? Adam was still around telling his grands and greats and great-great-grands and great-great-great-grands, he was still around telling about God's creation, about the fall of sin, about the way to worship God, about the importance of the sacrifice, of faith in the promised seed of the woman. Adam was still around. Those truths were being passed on in this godly line. See, sin leads, where did Cain's lineage lead? To rejection of God, rebellion, indifference towards God. But where did this lineage of Seth lead? To those who still believed in God. Lamech believed in God and His promise so much that he named his son Noah. Because Lamech's living in a day and time and he's seeing a world that is wicked and turned from God and rejecting God, and he's still believing God's going to send the one, and he names his son Noah as the one who's going to bring the rest we're looking for. He's still believing. He's still worshiping God. He's waiting on God to fulfill the promise. And he died. Again, God is true. Satan is a liar. Yes, they truly lived because they didn't live for the temporary things of the world. They sought to call upon God in worship. They walked with God. And they waited upon God. And they died because guess what? The curse of sin, the wages of sin, is death. But they believed in the Lord. The Bible tells us when Abraham believed in the Lord, what did God do? God counted it to him for righteousness. So yes, they died, but they didn't cease to exist. They kept right on living. See, I believe they caught up to Enoch in heaven, in the presence of God. See, the lineage of Seth, it tells us not only where sin leads, but it teaches us where salvation leads. Now think about it. Enoch in Seth's line is the seventh from Adam through Seth. And God's Word gives us several verses about Enoch. There's a great contrast between Cain's Lamech and Seth's Enoch. Here we see in verse 22 and verse 24, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years. And he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. See, Enoch lived, but it doesn't say Enoch died. He walked with God 365 years. And I believe one day he was closer to God's house than he was his house. And God said, let's just keep on walking. A lot of things we could talk about Enoch. Is Enoch one of those two guys in the tribulation that's going to give witness? Is he and Elijah going to be the ones witnessing on that day? Because Elijah was caught up to heaven in a chair, and Enoch was taken. Neither one of those guys died. The Bible says appointed man wants to die and then the judgment. Could it be that those two guys, they're the ones that's going to come back and they're the ones going to preach and they're the ones that's going to die, and 3 days later they're going to be caught up to heaven again for all the world to watch? Could it be he's one of them? Could be. Won't know till we see it from heaven. That's where I'll be watching. But I personally, there's those who say it's Moses and Elijah, but I'm just personally, I believe Enoch and Elijah. But I'm not going to say that because God's Word doesn't tell us their identities. But that's what I believe. Enoch walked with God. And look where it led him. That's where salvation leads. See, not only does the lineage of Seth tell us where salvation leads, it leads to heaven in the presence of God, but the lineage of Seth also tells us from where salvation comes. Where does it come? It comes from God. It comes from God's promises. It comes from God's Word. God promised a seed of a woman that would crush the serpent's head. And the lineage of Seth traces the lineage and genealogy for us that will eventually lead us to the birth of Christ. And that's revealed in God's Word. God's plan of salvation cannot be thwarted. God's promises will always be fulfilled because He's God. And that brings me to the third reason for this line of Seth in Genesis 5. And it's scriptural reasons. We get the history, we get the record, we get an idea of the length and the age and the time and all of that. But the spiritual reason, the difference between those following the way of Cain and those following the way of the cross, there's a sovereign reason for this line of Seth. Again, remember in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, God reveals to us what we need to know. Not everything we would like to know, not all that we want to know. Now, I suspect we're going to spend eternity learning those secret things that belong only to the Lord. I suspect that's what we'll spend eternity doing. But right now, God's Word reveals to us everything that we need to know when it comes to our creation, when it comes to our sin, when it comes to our salvation. And there's a twofold sovereign reason, I believe, for this lineage of Seth here in Genesis chapter 5. First of all, is that we would trust in the Scriptures. That we would trust these are the revealed Word of God. Do you know this genealogy is quoted two times in the Bible? It's quoted again in the Old Testament, and it's quoted again in the New Testament. In 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, it says, Adam, Seth, Enos, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth. In Luke chapter 3, verse 36 through 38, Luke is tracing the lineage of Christ through his mother, proving the humanity of Christ, proving not that he's just the promised Messiah to Israel, but that he is that promised seed of woman that would crush the serpent's head. And the genealogy goes, verse 36, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Arphaxad, which was the son of Shem, which was the son of Noah, which was the son of Lamech, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Malael, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. The Old Testament and the New Testament confirm the historical, factual truth of the lineage of Seth that's revealed in Genesis. In other words, God wants you to know you can trust His Word. It's hard to wrap your mind around a universe and the world and everything that is created in 6 days. And it's hard to wrap your mind around a man living to be 969 years old. But listen, God's Word said it. You can trust it. You can trust it. Which leads us to the other sovereign reason. Not that you just trust the Scriptures, but hey, trust the Savior. Trust in the Savior. Why has God went to all this trouble? Genesis chapter 5, all of Genesis, and those first few chapters, every bit of it, it's foundational to the gospel. is foundational to the promise of a Savior, is foundational to the good news of Jesus who died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. There's a sovereign reason the lineage of Seth is in here to prove to you God's Word can be trusted. He told Eve, your seed, the seed of woman, is going to crush the serpent's head. Adam believed it. He believed God and his wife, and he named her Eve, the mother of all living. And they believed God, and they started having children. And the first son murdered the second-born son. But God gave them another son. And through his line, there were men who called upon God, who worshiped God, who walked with God, who waited on God. And one day, the Son of God was born. There's several reasons for the lineage of Seth. There's scriptural reasons. There's spiritual reasons. There's sovereign reasons. But I believe the greatest reason is this, is that we put our faith in Jesus Christ and we trust in Him as Lord and Savior. See, to believe what we find here will put us on the road to salvation. To not believe what we find here will turn us in the way of Cain, and away from salvation. Let me just say this. The line of Seth is the line of the Savior. It takes us from point A, the fall of man in sin, to point B, the cross of Calvary, where Jesus died and was buried. It's imperative that we follow by faith the line of sin. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the revelation of it. And we live in a world just likened to the days of Adam and his sons and descendants, where many and most reject Your Word, Your way, Your will, Your worship, live for this world and the things of this world. But Lord, we're thankful that You have revealed to us that there was always someone in the lineage of Adam that called upon You, worshiped You, walked with You, waited upon You. And Lord, through that line and through that remnant, You spared the race of humanity from the first judgment of the flood. And Lord, You sent us Your Son Jesus to die for our sins and to provide salvation for all who would repent and believe and trust in You. And though, Lord, we're facing another judgment in which all of humanity will stand before You and be judged by You, we're thankful for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And we're thankful for the mercy and grace that we have today in Your patience, in Your long-suffering, and that You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and saving faith. And so, Lord, help us to live lives of faith and to be witnesses, Lord, to Your Word and to the gospel. And, Lord, be instruments in Your hands to be used of You to help lead men and women, boys and girls, to a saving knowledge of You. We'll be careful, Lord, to give You the praise and honor and glory for all that You accomplish and all that You do. We ask it in Jesus' name and pray.